did that. And he also bought, he at the time, he didn't just buy that lot. He bought three lots next to him going up to Governor LaFoyette Road. And one was for his father who lived on Jermaine Street. And there's a lovely story there. They came out to visit. And my husband was a little boy.
Explain who they would be. That's Lorenzo, George.
George and Charlotte Abigail.
They always lived on Jermaine Street.
And they had a car, and they were chauffeur driven out to visit Fred's house. And my husband, Jim, was tethered out in the front lawn
on
their waist and a rope.
Like,
and he was raging mad and had a wonderful deep voice and was screaming so large. Abigail, Charlotte, the grandmother, said, "We're not building next door to them." That lot was never built on, and that is part of that house. But then the next lot, Fred had built during the Depression in the early 30s.
And where Dr. Schroeder now lives?
Where Dr. Schroeder,
next to the old Catholic church.
He built that house. And he sold it, and I can't remember who bought it, whether it was there were two families that spent a long time there, the Harringtons, and there's one before that, I think. But and then eventually, his daughter, Jane Starr, bought it, and she lived there for 20 years, too. So there was the two things. And then he had two sons, Jim and George, and they both went in the Army and the Navy when the war came. And before they went, they said they were interested in land around, because there were three lots where I am, and there was lots on the road behind there.
What makes it clear?
What is the road?
Peter Almond
Lane. And there were three lots on Almond Lane. He bought them all, and then when the boys both came back, and we built on Grove Avenue, which it was called. My house, it's called Church Avenue now.
Yeah.
And he, George, built on the other. And one day, so I suppose 15, 20 years ago, I woke up and I was living on Church Avenue. And then I took a walk down to Diggle's store or something, and I saw a sign on the Rothsay Park School. So I lost myself over to the council hall there, where the
medical center is
now. And I went in and I said, I went to bed last night and I woke up, I went to bed on Grove Avenue and I woke up on Church Avenue. I walked around the common and school on the common was Rothsay Park School. I said, where's Rothsay Park School, please?
And for a long time, Mom used to direct people to Rothsay Park School, say, go down to Rothsay Park and see if you could find the school. And I know exactly why. People, I'd say in the 60s, had an aversion towards the word common. And they thought, well, if it was called Rothsay Common School, people would think...
They wouldn't send their children
if
there.
If they were British, they might...
They should have called it Rothsay School on the Common, and
that would have sounded really classy.
Really classy.
But they wouldn't do that, so they called it Rothsay Park.
And they just looked at me.
Because that is not a park by the definition. It was decided as a common. That whole history of the common is whoop-de-doo.
Now, what they call Grove Avenue now, you know where that is, that's the one that takes
an access to the highway.
Yeah. That was called Grove Avenue Extension.
Because the Grove is the house that is next to the new modern Catholic church, the one up on the hill. That house was called the Grove. So everything sort of leading up to, and the property went right over to where the Catholic church is now. That whole area was known as the Grove. So therefore, you have Grove Avenue, and then you cross the street.
And we used to call it the Dam Road.
So that was just a...
That's where they dammed up the water for the village water. That's why it was called the Dam Road.
And I had a friend, a good friend, who lived at the top of that road. And when we were young, 10 or 11 or whatever, and you had a bicycle and you were going up, and it was a very hard road to bike up. We didn't have any fancy bikes. And she took great delight in saying, I'm going up this damn road because at the end of it was the water supply, which we called the dam, and it was known as the Dam Road.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Officially, it was the Grove Avenue Extension. The deed of my house is, my house is deeded on Grove Avenue.
Oh.
Yeah. If you look at the old layouts for Rossay, you get a lot of information, that is lost now. And it's there, but people don't understand about the transition of the names. And one thing is that school, I went to that school when it was called Rossay, what was it called? Rossay Consolidated School.
Rossay Consolidated School.
And listen, it was called Rossay Consolidated, and it was built in 1915. It was really quite a thing at the time. It must have been because it took in, people came from Gondola Point, they came all over, anything outside the city.
And Village.
Yeah. When I went there in grade...
They came in horse and sleigh.
And people even came across from Minister's Island. They came across to go to school. But when I was there, that had sort of gone. But it was still a school that went from 1 to 12, and they had home ec and shop. And that was to serve the whole of practically up to Hampton. That was the next consolidated school outside of the city. There was Rossay Consolidated and then Hampton. And that
went
school,
to grade 11, didn't it?
Yep. No, it went to grade 12, Mom. Well, in those days, grade 12.
Did they have grade 12 then?
Yeah, you're thinking of Nova Scotia. Nova Scotia. We always had grade 12. New Brunswick always did.
So it went from 1 to 12. Yeah. See, I know. Then they changed it to high school, I think, afterwards.
No, they changed it to an elementary school.
It was never high school?
It was when it was consolidated.
That's right. That's where I get that. Yeah. Right. And it changed to elementary school. I went there four years ago. It was middle school.
It was a middle school.
Yeah.
And then at one time it was the French. It was the French
immersion.
French immersion school.
Are you French immersion?
No. It was French immersion.
Yeah.
Now it is though. Like they do French immersion, but it's the English as well.
Yeah. At one time it was just totally not too long ago. No. It was totally French immersion, but they keep moving that around.
That's cool. The big history.
Yeah.
And then they built all those that big extension.
I went there up to grade 4, and I'm a retired school teacher. I taught in the city in the North End, but I went to school there, and in grade 4 I got the strap. And I'll tell you what happened was, as we told you, we live in a floodplain, and the school is partly on it too. And we were having a really rainy season, either in the fall or the spring. I don't know which, it doesn't matter. But anyway, when I went home for lunch, I went to see how high, and our basement always flooded before we had this series of sump pumps and things. And I went down, and I saw it was up to 2 steps or whatever. You know, had my lunch, went back to school. We were told not to go down in the basement because and that's where the washrooms were. So I decided, I had great big high rubber boots on. I wanted to see if it was as high as it was in our basement at home. So I went down there, and I was caught, and I was brought up in front and received just, I mean, I wasn't strapped within an inch of my life, but maybe two on each hand, for disobeying the rule. And although I don't believe in corporal punishment, I think when it was explained to me, and rightly so, that I was really endangering myself and the other little girl that I had dragged down with me, because supposing we had slipped and fallen, that was off limits, nobody knew we were there. I mean, it was dangerous to go down there. And when I tell people your age that I received the strap, and generally speaking, I was a very, I told the lie, didn't I? I wasn't a rebel in school, but I did receive the strap at that school.
Yes.
and my teacher, I shouldn't have received it, and it wasn't given. I don't believe in it today, but under the circumstances, it was a justified strapping.
And to go off topic of it, you said you taught it in the North Edmonton School of Speech.
I taught it Centennial.
Okay.
Do you know where that is? It's right behind Baxter. Okay, it's right behind Baxter's Dairy.
It's
a true North End
school. Yeah, they used to play basketball there.
Yeah, they had the only gym in that area.
When I was young.
Yeah. I taught there for, this has nothing to do with that. I taught there for a long time. Lived out in Rossay, but I think my heart was in the North End.
Yeah, I grew up in the North End.
I sort of probably saw a little bit rougher side. I knew, I felt I was like a Timex watch. I was shock resistant and waterproof and came along. I loved it.
Yeah. Moving back.
Yeah.
Now, last time we checked, we were talking about the old Crosby House on the corner.
Yeah.
Correct. So, when was the house next to your house, your property, sorry? When was that built again?
40.
Which one?
Your house, property. Mom. 49? Earlier. Mary was one. Mary was born in 45.
Moved in
46.
47.
Yeah.
Okay.
47. 47 or 48, either one.
And it was built by John Flood.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, but you also said that Joy Crosby, who I visited yesterday, that's not a real Crosby house. What were the Crosby houses?
The other one is
Schroeder, where Dr. Schroeder lived. He bought, he built
Fred.
That. Fred built that. Fred. And then George built on the other side of Common. On the other side of our block, we had, at one time, George Crosby lived there, Jane Crosby
this
lived there,
totally
Fred Crosby lived here, and Jim and I lived here, on that whole block.
Okay. I know I want to.
That was after the war, right after the war.
I have a piece of paper. I know a picture is worth a thousand.
Yeah, I got all kinds of paper.
Just give me a piece, and I'll just show you a very simple diagram, because when people talk and they say around the corner and wonder which corner they're on and what they're doing and everything. So.
Also, at one point I was reading something, or I think it was, it was the current owner of the old Crosby House. They said it was once, the property was once owned by the Catholic Church.
Yes, for a very short,
short
time.
Very
That's
short
correct.
Time.
Very short time.
Once but
time.
It was.
That was, who was it, the Mulvaney's celibate?
I'm not sure about that, but it might be.
Yeah.
Very short time, and really didn't use it.
Nope. I'd say it's almost like months.
Yes.
And they never really went in. They ran a sort of a school thing. I mean, they never used it. There was
an office
that moved out, and the kind of offices, I think. I know in what I
and,
call
and the congregation didn't want it.
Right.
They were the ones that really, they it didn't work for them anyway.
Yeah, because it popped up, and I just not much information. That makes sense, though. It was just a short time.
Yeah, very short.
Very short.
Yeah.
I mean, we're. I think if you'd even check the record somehow, you'd find it was less than a year. Mm. I mean, it was very, very. Yep.
And on our house, on our road, actually. I guess, I don't know, I think Miss Puddington's house came afterwards too.
Well, I don't know that it's either Miss Puddington's and Stars.
They came afterwards.
See, permanent houses started being built anywhere from 1915 to 1920, all these houses were being built. Mm-hmm. And there are a whole lot of Henderson houses. And they're all within a certain range, anywhere from about 19. Well, Joy's house is, that's the one you're talking about. That was built 100 years ago, so that's 1906.
Those two were summer houses.
Yeah, those two were summer houses. You go 06 up to about the 20s. I think they stopped building in the 20s.
You would have no, I think... Joy told me about how her house and the house next to her are almost like the same. Now, what's that all about? Do you know?
What?
Do you know what that's all about? Why they're practically the same? Are they like mirror images of each other?
Were they built for sisters or anything?
I think there was some relationship.
There was some relationship.
Yes, that they built. And that often happened.
Yeah.
One person built it and the other one built one, too. And they were always painted the same, and you know, they always were looked at. They're sweet houses. They were. What's it say?
What else did you
get here? The Crosby house inside is beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Front hall's nice.
Front hall. It has a lovely front hall, a very gracious stairway, and it's a lovely, lovely house.
So this is yours?
No, that's the old one.
Right.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Very gracious home. Lovely.
We noticed the front door.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the hall is
hall. The hall and
the downstairs is really lovely.
Lovely. And the upstairs, too.
Yeah,
nice hall upstairs, really.
Now, yours, has there been any, sort of add-ons or additions over the
years? Not add-ons. We've done a lot of work inside, we did. The only thing, the back porch was a little, it'd been improved. Yeah, a little bit I did. But we've done a lot of work inside.
Do you know anything about, I think it's next, it's next to the church, St. Paul's.
Yes, yes. That was Miss Puddington's house.
And that's another Henderson house.
Is it another Henderson house?
Yeah, and so is the one next to Mom, which is another Star house. It's now owned by the Grants, but it's another Star. Penny. I think was the first person to live in that. What people used to say.
Yeah.
And then across the way is what we call. And these are all Henderson houses, and we're not sure of the first people, but I think Henderson. And I don't know how you're going to find them listed. If you go back, you'll find the original owners, and you might find Star, and you might find Puddington on those two.
The first Star I see here is in 1914, Joy's house now. In 1914, Flood sold it to Alice Star Tilly.
Oh, was she a Star?
That's what it says here. She, I'm assuming.
Wow. Gee, that's really weird to me, but I don't know.
She knows because she's so not. She's done the research some.
Gee, that's weird though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't. Never thought of the Tillys as having any stars. The star name is well, at one time the star family in St. John,
yeah.
Who were not really related to, no. only through marriage, they were in coal, at, you know, yeah. for and if you think about it, and you
they
go back,
like the
they're like the Irvings of the time because that was the main heating,
yeah.
running everything. Was run by coal. The ships were, they had, they heaved, you know, it was the
big thing.
It's the fuel that gave you warmth and moved transportation and everything. So it was any, if you go into St. John, there were star houses that, the star family was very significant. Now, I suppose around the turn of the century, their stars are rock falling because oil is coming in to replace it. So,
I've hardly heard of anything to do with stars until just recently. I think George kept popping up. So.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that is, like, I just know little bits of that, and that kind of stuff is interesting when you think about it. Okay.
Well, maybe if I threw some names, it might remember it.
Yeah.
Well, this is what she has. Okay, well, 1902, land purchased by Jane Vasey.
Okay.
And this is hers.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. And she's probably, that would be right, because she's
the widow of William Vasey.
Yeah.
Okay. And the house built by Joseph Henderson for Jane Vasey. 1910, Vasey sold to George H. and Ella E. Flood.
Interesting.
Okay. And then...
See, keep on going.
Okay.
This
Flood
is interesting.
Sold to Alice Sartilly. That was in 1914.
Okay.
In 1921, Leonard P. D. Tilly sold to G. Herbert and Louise M. Broom.
That's right. Whoa, that's what we know. That's what we know.
We remember Mrs.
Broom as an old lady.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yes. That's who was there when I came.
Read that again, that last little part.
It was
what year?
1921.
Yeah.
Leonard P. D. Tilly sold to G. Herbert and Louise M. Broom.
Yeah. That was known as
the Broom House. And I remember Mrs. Broom lived to...
She was the widow when I came.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that house that Joy lives in, if anybody asked me whose house that was, I would say that's Mrs. Broom's house.
Okay.
It's just interesting, isn't it?
Yep. And after that, this is 1935,
Mr.
the basement was added and the house was winterized.
Yeah.
Which can be interesting.
Yeah. You see, that goes along with our theory with the summer home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then 1958, room sold to Arthur Jays and Eva B. Kennedy.
Yeah.
Okay. And then 1980, the difference there, Kennedy sold to James M. and Jody Crosby.
Yeah. Now, to get the Kennedys straightened out, where that old defunct Irving station is, you realize that there was a very interesting building there, the Kennedy House. If you're doing stuff around the common, it was called the Kennedy House, and they took in orders and painting, and they were the Kennedys who owned that home, and then they purchased the house that, like the Jordan
lived in.
But he also had a service station down the road, and he sold Irving Gas down the road. But the old Kennedy House, I remember.
He also was the taxi.
If you ever did anything in the Kennedy family, would be. I just know little bits and pieces, but it would be very integral into the beginnings of Rothsay. I really think the Kennedy family.
Well, they owned all that new development going up Grove Avenue.
That's Steelman.
Yes, but it was all Kennedy.
Was that Kennedy before the Steele bought it?
Oh, yes. He left it all to the Steele.
Oh. So the Kennedy family really had a lot to do with, and this old house that had rooms, and for example, Mr. Brundage, the principal of the Rothsay, where it was Rothsay Elementary School, he lived at the Kennedy house. And, the Kennedy House had a veranda on it, and all the kids, mostly guys, around 13, 14, used to sit on the veranda and watch everybody talk about standing on the corner watching all the girls go by. And they would hang out there, and the Kennedys, they never...
The summer guests would sit on the veranda and watch the cars go by.
Yeah. But the boys somehow, they must have gotten along with Mr. Kennedy because they were never...
Mrs. Kennedy.
Mrs. Kennedy. It was sort of a hangout place that was quite respectable. It was almost considered more respectable than Kenny's restaurant.
Where
the Bank of Scotia was.
Very
and that's the first time that I went there and they had pinball machines. except Doris Kenny, who ran it. She was not. She kept everybody in line because she would say, and she did. She knew everybody's parents, so that if anybody behaved out of line, she'd say, you know, I know your dad, Jim. I'll, you know, I know your dad, Harry. You know, so and she kept us all in line. So it was really great. We could go in there, but sometimes there were some people who said it was a bit of a hangout. I thought it wasn't bad budget. I mean, nobody was, it was really mild. It was a little bit like Happy Days. Honest to God, that's what it was like. And they had a jukebox, and you'd listen to the stuff, and they had the pinball machines. And the only thing that you'd get from the pinball machines were either free games, and there was one machine that gave you a handful of peanuts if you won really well. It was just a handful of peanuts.
Now, you mentioned the principal, Mr.
Brundage.
Brundage. But did he not...
He was a boarder
at the Kennedy House.
Okay. At Joy's house.
That's what I thought, yeah.
But he lived first in the Kennedy house.
Yes,
and then he moved over into Joy's house.
When the Kennedy family bought that, when they sold... Because he was a permanent resident when he sold.
Yeah. This Kennedy house, though, I wish it had stayed. I wish
it was a lovely old house.
Yeah.
And with a veranda.
And an interesting history.
Beauty.
What year did they take that?
Not very long ago. In the 60s, I think.
Yeah.
And Irving built that service station to fit in the village. It didn't look like his others, and he made it what he considered a little bit classier.
Yeah.
To fit in with the decor, supposedly. But it never fit in. And I don't know why he wanted to build one when there was an Esso or a Petro. It changed 100 times just around the corner. The land now opposite the school that they're trying to clean up because of the tanks that were there.
There used to be an old school there.
That is really old.
Yeah, that was a really old one, yeah.
Yeah, that was like way back.
Oh, yeah.
But when I went to school at what I will call the Rossay Consolidated School, across the way, in my class was one of the boys whose dad owned that service station, and in addition to dealing out gas, he had, I'd say, every kid there would go in and buy penny candy. He had the best penny candy that came out of jars. And you'd think nothing, he would have, you know, his hands. He would have just been pumping the gas, and he'd come in, he'd give you the 3-5 peppermint spears for a penny, and the knobs, and the peppermint drops, or whatever in the name of heaven, and all the licorice sticks and everything. Take them out of the jars, put them in the little paper bag, and for about 5 cents, you'd come out with a whole whack of candy. I mean,
Mr. Diggle was...
And Mr. Diggle also did that, too. Mm-hmm. But he had cookies and ice cream. All I remember was Mr. Brown was penny candy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He didn't deal out the ice cream. He didn't scoop the ice cream out. So...
Oh, the
common. You know, the Round the Common was actually more commercial.
Yes.
Than it...
And it was lovely. It was just like a village.
Well,
it was a village,
and here's the difference. Yeah. It wasn't a suburb. It wasn't a burb. People were
working there.
My brother got his first haircut it was like a barn that was beside the school, wasn't it? And the fire station was right behind it. It had an economic basis. There was a hairdresser, Betty Miller, who lived up the road in Rossay. There was a guy who cut hair, the barber, There was
a little post office.
There was a little, post office. There were two grocery stores. Just outside of town limits was a drugstore.
Yeah. And the little inn, Kennedy House.
There was the Kennedy House in Shadow Lawn.
Yeah. And a butcher shop.
Now I don't remember the butcher shop. Yeah. And there was that little restaurant that I told you where the Bank of Nova Scotia is, that you could go in and buy hamburgers and stuff.
Okay.
And now when I was little, there was even more commerce there. I mean, it did function.
Yes.
You could buy groceries. You didn't need a car to exist.
No.
Mom didn't drive for ages. And that's when they took down the things that you, where you couldn't have access to the daily things, that's when it became more like a suburb as opposed to a village that operated
actually, when it really stopped, being that was when the Mackay Highway
went through. That's what changed it.
That makes sense. Those highway.
Yeah. Because that was the main, everybody going to Mackay.
And that's why that corner was a very busy corner. Because you see, the through traffic came down there. And then to go in to St. John, right in
the actual road that runs through Broadway has not changed its course.
No.
You know that terrible corner where the Irving Station is and everything. That has remained exactly the same. And it's like a four-way a mess. But it stayed the same because most of the
traffic now. It was a wonderful thing that it was built, but it did change the corner there because it was getting far too busy for the going through.
Yeah.
You could never have made a double lane in going through.
Who built Bonnie Jane's house?
It's not Dobbin.
Is that Dobbin?
Mm. He built good houses too.
I don't know how you spell Dobbin. Now that I'm a school teacher, I don't know how to spell it.
I ran into today, there's a house, it's owned by the Buckley's right now, Peter Buckley. You know the house I'm talking about?
That is the Crosby house, I think. Or are you running over the one that's down on the
Mary Crimmins house?
Station Road, yeah.
It's five Station Road, or three
Station Road. Yeah, I know that house.
You do know that house?
Well, I mean, I know which house it is.
Yes.
I know some of the difference.
Yes.
I'll tell you a story, though. I got all this information on a house.
Yes. And you get somebody else and they tell you something
else. I guess the wrong house, because apparently it's been torn down.
No, this one, this is a sweet house. Now, behind it were beautiful apple trees.
Yeah.
Where the clinic is, which is back of that house, there were all these lovely apple trees. I imagine the land belonged to them.
But we don't really know that much about that house.
We
can only tell you from about the...
It was called the coffee house.
Oh, yes.
The people were, I think the original people were named Coffee.
I'll try and check that out because what was funny was, not too long ago, I'd say about 20 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, that house, a doctor moved and his name was Dr. Beveridge. Mom heard Dr. Beveridge was living in the coffee house. This used to be a joke.
In between with Mrs. Crimmins.
Yeah, and then there were a lot of
A lot of people that I didn't know.
We're talking about the Buckley house.
We're talking about the Buckley house.
Yeah.
Now, is he the one who bought the Crosby house? Do you know whether that is true?
Oh, don't mix them up now.
No. I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I've never heard anything like that. Okay. The one next to the Buckley house, though, is called starts with an S. It's like the grayish house that has the like the thing that goes right up. Behind it is the apple orchard. You know what I'm talking about?
No, and I know every house there is.
Oh, the McAvity house?
No. He's not there. He's on
Station Road. You're on Station Road.
You know the corner we were talking about with the old gas station, right?
Yes.
You can go down there.
Yes.
And it's right on your right. It's the Buckley's house. Right.
Oh, I'm totally confused.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Yes.
And on your right is the Buckley's house.
Oh,
right beside that is...
Back of
okay,
the
we're not talking about the right house.
Yes, he's talking about the one that has the widow's peak sort
yeah,
of thing.
That's the one.
Yes. Where Clifford lived.
Yeah.
But it's...
What are they on Valentine's Day when he came to school? They had fire all in the house.
Yes.
Little girl.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Oh,
but before that,
do you know who owned that?
There was a McAvity that lived in that before that.
I don't. Is that the Buckley House?
No.
The other one is. Now I'm trying to
think. That one is the Buckley.
The first one, the brown one. That you
no,
see.
But listen, he's talking beside that. Maybe the Buckley.
No, I'm
and
not.
Just a minute, though, Mom.
Yeah. Okay.
Just a minute. I'm saying that the Buckley house is now the house that, what's his name, Steed bought. Turnbull.
That's what we're talking about. He's saying the Buckleys live there, yes.
Yeah. And not in Mrs. Crimson.
No.
We're way off.
Yes.
Disregard everything we say because we are mixed up as yeah. to which house the Buckleys live in.
Yeah.
Well, the one
I'm
talking about is the Buckleys live in now, Peter Buckley.
And which one is it?
The brown one. It used to be brown. I don't think it is brown now.
Or it has like a veranda.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think who always lived there.
Oh, they lived there for a long time.
Years. Can't remember their name.
No, I can't either. And they lived there for
they were there, I think, when I came.
All I remember is when what's-her-name Turnbull bought it.
Yeah.
And she bought it from that family.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they lived there donkey's age.
Yeah.
And the one next to that.
It was, and they, a Tom McAvity built it or lived in it or something, whoever he was. I have no idea who he was. Because all his relations used to call us Uncle Thomas Cabin.
I love it.
And another thing is that, well, you know Dewitt Hall.
No.
It's well, you know the Bellevue Hotel.
Yes.
And how there was less to that. There was
an annex, sort of.
Yes, thing. So it's the same thing. They called the Dewitt Hall slash annex.
Yeah.
Exactly how it used to be in Byron.
Yeah. Yeah. We knew that.
No, I was trying to get dates on that, but 1850s it was a Byron. Built a Byron, and they redid it to a hotel.
Yeah.
This is the turn of the century. Do you know anything more about that, though?
Oh, Prince of Wales spent the night there.
And there's a lovely story. Now, there are lots of stories about the Prince of Wales dancing with prominent or young ladies and things. But this is our family's Prince of Wales story. Now, Mom, you can...
Was that one Jim crawling under the tent?
My dad is, circa that time, my dad is only five, you know, quite young. And I believe there
they
was
a
garden party in the afternoon. There was probably evening things for all the grand people who would come and dance and do whatever. But there was an afternoon garden party. And the story goes that my dad was taken over. They were as small children because they just lived across the way. They were taken over and there was a tent. That you would have, almost like today where they have tents for all these grand
occasions. Oh, okay, yeah.
And he was supposed, you weren't supposed to go in a certain area, and he wanted to see the Prince of Wales, so he just skedaddled underneath the tent to, have a look, a better look-see at the Prince of Wales, at the garden party. And
I don't think he could even remember.
You know, but he was told this when he was older, that, you know, he wouldn't take no for an answer. He was just going to crawl under the tent to see the Prince of Wales. But that house has a fascinating history. I imagine you'll find they know a lot of stuff about that, don't they?
I've got a lot of information on that. It's just the one thing is the dates.
Yeah,
that's what's hard.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if you went to Hampton, you'd find all that.
You'd find out when the house came in.
Yeah.
You'd find that.
Find the dates.
But the thing is they have land deeds.
Yeah.
They don't have when it was built, the house or something. They have
really?
When the land was given to who, stuff like that.
Well, this is what we're saying about the three kinds of houses. You see, there's a house that's old. But it wasn't built, the idea of going into St. John to work. It was a total entity unto itself.
Now, Mr. Purdy owned all the land that we're on.
Yes.
And Miss Purdy lived, who owns the...
Next to Jerry McCracken's house, isn't it? Way up there.
Oh, no, it's where, what's his name, lives?
Ellis.
Ellis.
Yeah, but that's right next. Yep. The Henderson house is all really close to the Purdy house.
Yeah. And he owned a lot.
Yeah, you'll find it if you look at old.
I'm trying to get the land now, but I know he owns.
There are certain families that own
a lot of
land. None of these families are here now.
There's no such people.
No. It's just like people are doing research down
there. Mr. Purdy wasn't around when I came, but Miss Purdy was.
When you get the old names, like 100, 150 years ago, there are no people left around here. That we know a girl who's doing work on this, that, and she gets buffaloed with, and some of the stories are unbelievable. I mean, there are unbelievable stories in Rossay, but I mean, some of them, I don't know whether you'll dig them up or not.
Yeah.
Some of them are kept hidden for a while. It takes longer for them to come out. Never mind.
Okay, yeah, I think, well, your property right now, we got, when it was built,
it's 1948 or...
Yeah.
48, 47, 49.
We bought it, we started it in March, whatever the year was, and we moved in October, in November.
Okay.
On Mary's first birthday. It's easy to figure it out.
Yeah, but Mary's first birthday would be, she was born in 45.
Okay.
And her first birthday would be 46. And that's when she would have turned one.
And that's when we moved in. So that's when we moved in.
46? Hmm. I thought it was... Okay, I'll put it down to 47 then.
46?
46 seems...
Yeah, we moved in.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, when she was one. Okay. And we bought this...
And what... Granby's house, we said Dad was born there, so he was born in 1915. So he was there when...
So they built it in...
And my aunt Jane was born in 1913. She was born in town.
Yeah. So
it was either 14 or 15 it was built.
Yeah.
Okay, now this is what I was trying to explain to you. Okay, I put this, the opening, because this front's on Gondola Point Road, so that's why I put the front door there. And this is my aunt Jane Starr Crosby. This was built by Dobbins, and this is, my grandfather owned, and this is a different star, but it just gives you, my proportions aren't right.
Yep.
This is what Dad built, and these three houses have a Crosby connection. This
plus,
one doesn't.
Plus
now,
across the road.
I'm going to put
the right-of-way in.
Yeah, I'm not going to put the right-of-way in. It's too confusing. Okay, there is a right-of-way that runs right behind here into the, I call this the old, this is Our Lady of Perpetual Help Church.
Okay.
The old one.
Yeah.
This is the new one right over here. And it was part of the Grove.
Oh.
This is the house of the Grove.
Grove, yeah.
And this is the Grove. And this is Church Avenue, but
it's called
was
Grove Avenue.
Yeah.
I'll put this down so that when you're looking, you'll have some idea. And this is the Common, this is Gondola Point Road, and this is Church Avenue, formerly Grove Avenue. Then, see, my grandfather, he owned this, and he owned this land, and he owned this, and he owned behind the Star House, he owned, my proportions now are really out of whack.
Three lots.
Because this
he bought those in 41 or 42.
Now, this
from Mr. Purdy.
Yeah, but this is the church, and also here we have the, I remember when the priest's house was built, we used to go over and spend a lot of time watch. And in those days, Catholics and Protestants were, it was sort of a little bit different, but my good friend Chucky Oland, who was a Catholic who lived over here, we used to go over and see the priest's house, so, you know, that was okay, because we were Protestants, and in those days, I don't know, I think that's one of the things that's better now. But this is my, this is George, there was also another little house in here, but this is George Crosby's house that was built in around 50.
Yeah. Okay, there's an ours.
And George Crosby, who's he?
That is my uncle.
He was mayor.
He was mayor of Rossing.
Oh, really?
So these two men are
brothers.
Okay. This is my Aunt Jane. This is my dad. This is my Uncle George. And then he built
and then Fred.
House.
Fred lived there.
And Fred lived there.
So we all lived there.
Crosby, so we all lived in this area. Jane, who was a Crosby star, Fred, this is my dad, and then on Almond Lane,
George lived.
On Peters Lane, that's where George. He lived. Now there's another little house built when my Uncle George built another little tiny house here on his double lot. My mom, this is way out of whack, she owns, she's centered on three lots.
Mm-hmm.
This is very weird. This house is, of course, this house is really close to Dr. Peter's Lane. But, and this is the Henderson house, and this is the Anglican church.
Yeah.
Just so that, because when we're talking for a second, you need to get the geography. And here's the school over here.
And you said the store where you got hamburgers, or the restaurant you got hamburgers at. Or the
Scotia
Bank.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was right there, okay.
Yeah. And it was, I guess it, no, the butcher's store, where was the butcher's shop? Was this where the bank was, or where the, where
the butcher shop? The butcher shop was exactly where Kenny's was, you told me that.
Yeah.
They turned the butcher shop into a restaurant.
Yes. During the war, and
this is Dr. Peter's Lane, and I shouldn't even have anything, because you still have all common, all over here. The other part of the Hampton Road is way the heck over here. This is the Hampton Road. I think it's still called the Hampton Road, isn't it?
Yep, Old Hampton Road they call now.
And this is all the common. And the school is, if this is the common, the school is somewhere about here. Not exactly, my proportions are all off. I'll just put school down because it's changed its name.
Yep, now.
And this is Station Road.
Station Road, yep. Just a quick question, though.
Yeah.
You said George Crosby was the mayor.
Yeah.
Now, I have pictures up, and I work at the school, and I have pictures. Fred.
That's my grandfather.
He and Mr. Sayer used to take turns.
Okay.
And they weren't really official. They were just...
Okay. See, there's a picture of them up there.
Yes.
My grandfather and my uncle.
Jeff Sayer's father.
Yes.
And Fred Crosby, they would want to have it for a couple of years, and then the other one would take it, and they were just, I suppose it was a village.
We were designated a village before.
And George Crosby was the one who put it into a town,
my Uncle George, who... I've got him in here so that you'll know, and he's the mayor, and he fronts on Almond Lane. And this, I'll just put this, because often you wonder where the openings are to things.
Fred and Mr. Sayer were quite early settlers.
And this is the house that's next to the church. And this is Dr. Peters. I call it Dr. Peters Lane. It's Peters because he lived in a Henderson house. It was right here. A woman by the name of Susan Petrie lives in, and he was our main doctor for the whole.
He delivered all the babies,
and he, when all of us had the communicable diseases like mumps, chickenpox, I mean, you didn't have inoculations, he'd come right around, house calls.
Yeah, we talked about this.
I'm on Peter's Lane, and this is, I know it as, it's built by Henderson, but I know it as the Puddington House. It's changed a whack of times. It might be listed. Do you think, Mom?
Yeah. You think she was the first one in Puddington to live in that house?
I think it's always called the Puddington House.
Yeah, it's the Henderson. And this is the Henderson House, and it was known as Dr. Peters. And there's we're very interested in this house now because this house, we think, down here there's Knight's Lane and the two Knight's ladies at one time in the 20s owned this whole beach.
Okay.
And there's supposed to be a connection that their father built this house and lived in it for a year, and some people are debating whether that really happened. Because these ladies who lived in here,
mm-hmm.
one of the ladies was the matron at Rossay
Collegiate.
No, Rossay.
RCS.
Yes.
Rossay Collegiate School.
RCS. And in order for her to have that job, it would have been quite unusual. They had an association with the village, but in checking out the history of this beach, this girl is running up into this and keeps saying, I don't think they ever lived in Rossay. And another one says, well, I live in a house that I'm sure that they lived in Rossay. And it's just, you know, it goes back and forth. And there again, exactly what you said about the hotel, the
Bellevue.
Yeah. There again, it's hard to find out when it was built.
That's exactly the same thing that they're running into.
Because you probably,
you asked John Doe down the road, who was a good carpenter and builder, build my house for me.
You might have owned the land for quite a little while before you'd actually have the house built.
True. Yes.
Taxes, though, would show it, wouldn't they?
Well, hadn't people always had property taxes, and if you stuck a house on, it became more? Like Monopoly, Boardwalk, and Park Place?
Yeah, you mentioned, RCS, but there's one I think we're going to look into, but it's called the South House.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about that?
Nope. Except I just know that's going to be interesting to look at.
Yeah.
And to find out, I'd love to know more about that. I don't know.
I think the clergyman lived in it.
Yeah, because it was a church school, I think you're going to find...
There were two, I don't know their names.
I think they'd have to go back and look.
That's easy to find.
Up in Fredericton.
They know, RCS will have that. They know the history of
the two
houses.
They must know it.
The same with the Taylor. You see that the house that the Taylors lived in, that was a farm.
Yeah. Brookside.
So they were permanent people.
Yeah.
And they lived there all year round and lived there.
Yeah. And they farmed. And goodness knows what else they did. Or they had
And then there were the two great big houses. I think North House was part of one of the old ones.
I'd say when that was taken over and they decided to have... Because it was quite common for churches to be into schools, and some of them were boarding and some of them were not. I mean, that was really common.
Yeah.
In the 19th century, not the end of the 19th.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, I think it's doing pretty good.
Okay.
A lot more information than...
And then sorting it out and decide which is right and which is wrong.
True.
And here you go. Just when you're, it's not accurate in.
It's your help, though.
But when we're talking about things going left to right and all around the circle.
I'm just going to show you this.
Then the Loon House, what I call the Loon House. That's an oldie.
Yeah, we visited that one.
Oh, I have it.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
And they've done a lot of work in that.
Yeah.
And they haven't changed it that much, except they put a lovely new back on it.
Well, I haven't been in it since I babysat for the horse people, you know, the ones who had the little kids who had the horses, and they were bad kids. I mean, a mom wanted to go off and ride, and she liked to ride.
Westford, the Bacon House.
Do you remember the family that lived there?
Yeah.
And they had even changed. It was still the little front parlor when you walked into your right, and the little and the steep stairs. It wasn't very gorgeous because it didn't have any of the wonderful Lewin furniture in it. It looked very ordinary. But what does it look like now? It's all gorgeous out back, isn't it?
The main thing is the stairs.
Yeah.
They were
very short.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
You don't know until you try them.
They short.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But the first room when you went into your
library.
The left.
Yeah. That's right.
No, I'm talking about going into your left. That's where old Miss Lewin used to sit me down.
Yeah. Then on the right was a little library, Mr. Lewin's library.
But it was very, the right was the library, but it was very much set
they
up
lived
with a Victorian
building. And this,
a bell house? No, not bell.
No.
That's the woman I
thought. It's a name that used to be quite prevalent in Marseille.
But I imagine that there are some houses that are going to be much easier to track down than others. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But we can tell you practically, we can't tell you the time, but there have been a lot of owners of Grandpa's house, a lot. So.
Yeah, if you go to the, show you this. This is what you're allowed to keep this. This is for you. This is what we're about, Rossi Heritage Places Initiative. That's what we're about. And this is a bunch of reading for you guys, but it's basically telling you that
what you've done.
Well, we're not putting any barriers on your property or laws or anything. We're just getting information.
Yeah.
So,
I know what you mean.
If we're allowed to pictures, stuff like that, and show, put it on the web and stuff like that. And I have three papers, which are all the same, for you to sign.
Mm-hmm.
Both of you, because I need both owners.
I'm not an owner. I live up the road, but Mom can sign it.
Okay.
I'm an owner down here, but I'm not an owner up there.
Yeah, just for you to sign, because, it's one is for me, us, one is for the town, and one is for you.
Yeah.
So whenever you want to sign that. If you want to read it all, you read it all before. I don't want to press you.
And I'll turn it in sometime when I'm up town.
Okay,
Okay, where did I take it? Town hall?
Her. Gay Drescher.
Okay.
This is for.
The one?
Gay Drescher. She's my director.
Okay.
And there's also some more information on what we're all about here.
Mm-hmm.
This book of pamphlets.
Okay.
So I'll leave these in here.
Yeah, okay. We'll study it. Anything we can remember.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. Correct, we can tell you.
And also an important thing I must key is in case I do figure something else, then I need to contact you.
That's okay. Right. Okay. Supposing all of a sudden you say, whoops, this doesn't work.
Or I find,
you're all wet.
That is all yours.
Well, the schools from the drains from the schools ran right over to our property and Fred's property. Once in a while when I'm digging out in the back garden, you find the old sewer.
The old sewer.
And that common, has anybody done any real work on that common?
Like on the field?
Yes.
Yeah, they just recently, a few years ago, last year.
Yeah.
Sorry, every time people, graduation would be there for us in high school.
But have they done much history on it?
Oh, history?
Yeah. Because it's got a history.
We're working on it, but we haven't really looked as far into it yet.
Well, Robinson's owned it.
Somebody owned it on the sign that
sold
it.
And they gave
away.
But, I mean, the thing that cracks me up, and my Aunt Jane used to know about this, that's the one who lives in that. And this is the only person I've ever heard this from. She claims that when they built the Riverside Golf Club, they had a landscape architect, of course, come down to do it. And at the same time, my grandfather, Fred, who was mayor,
I think he was president of the golf club, too.
He was probably president of the golf club. And as president of the golf club and so-called mayor,
he
had the landscape architect staying at the house. And my Aunt Jane, who's only a little girl at this time, remembers this guy who designed and laid out the common. And the original path that they've all screwed this way and that way. It makes me really annoyed.
And the brook ran through.
And the brook ran right through. It was possibly one of the only landscaped parks, and this guy had a name, and you could find it out if you went to the golf course. You could find out it's one of the only places that has a landscape architect from designed for this common. And every time they make changes, they now the one thing that has to be done, it has to be drainage is important because, as we told you, that whole area is swampy. But whenever they want history there, they don't realize that the history isn't actually the way it was set out. I mean, it was designed by a landscape architect, and I'd say that there's not another place outside of cities that have that provenance. That have
and
that.
Then a few years ago, we had a guest speaker
yes.
who was
historic property that had gone all over Europe and all over Canada, and they came to speak to the Heritage Society
in the new town hall.
And they talked about common areas that existed all over the world and how some of them, for example in Paris, just consist of a very, very straightforward sort of open area with a bit of grass and maybe a graveled area where the guys can go out and play bocce or whatever that, you know, that game where they throw the ball. Mm-hmm. And they've been that way for 400 and 500 years. And they've never been changed, and it's just the way the people use it. It's common ground. And it just, every once in a while, there's some things. You don't have that thing turned on now, do you?
Yes,
you
do.
Uh-oh. I'll tell you something that we think is really funny with the common.
Yeah?
Right now. You know how they got all those park benches?
Whereabouts?
In the common. All over the common. Have you noticed them? Maybe you don't.
Oh, around the, okay.
You know, some of them are quite nicely strategically located, but all the ones that run from, on the Hampton Road, it's like you're sitting on the park bench and here you are on the sidewalk and it's just made like for people to sit there and trip with people coming from the sidewalk. Why do they have them turned out towards the road? Who's going to sit there and trick the people? And here's another thing. The thing that goes over the brook?
The bridge? Well, it's not much of a bridge, but it's walk over.
It's sort of like close to the bank. Do you know the thing that's close to the bank?
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
The lookout or whatever.
I call it the ditch watch because they've changed the brook into a ditch and it looks like something that fell off a Kent truck when they were doing landscaping, and there they've constructed this strange sort of thing that has nothing to do with the price of tea in China, and then they've got these two benches where you'd sit there and the other person would sit there. They're not even facing looking the common. They just look at each, go figure.
Yeah.
And maybe this is interesting.
This architect who came, he said at that point, they hadn't made the brook a ditch, as Martin said, because that's what it is now. And he said the only thing that he would suggest would be to let it go the right way down. And the only thing he would ever do with the common at that point would be complete the drainage. Mm. And he said it would be absolutely gorgeous.
And
nothing was ever done.
Nothing was ever done about that. And then, of course, they moved the cenotaph.
And it should be put back where it was. It was a memorial to the First War young men who graduated
that school.
And went over and were killed. And it should still, if you go through any little village around and you see, because we were a little village at that time, you'll see the war memorials
on the school ground. The school is still existing. Because these are the young men, 18, 19, that went over and
were killed.
So what would be the place that they would associate is the school that they
should never have been moved. I think that was the Legion's fault. They must have put the pressure on it.
And now the old veterans they can't even make it to the ceremony. No. They have it inside. So why would it matter where it is now?
Yeah.
Was put in the circle that was part of the design of this guy, this landscape architect that I'm telling you about. When my Aunt Jane died, she died in 2001, she would have a fit every time they did strange things to the common that were, there was no discussion. It was just, oh, this is the common, we can just do whatever. But there was a little bit of history attached to it. If you want heritage.
I mean, don't say
we're for modern things.
But don't tack heritage onto the common. The first time it was broken was when Ella built the rink and dug down to China and put in the.
Where the slab is now.
And where the basketball things are and everything. But I've lived with it over there, and it's been used, so that's okay. And
to show you how,
and the rink used to be where that was always there, and it had board fences to keep the snow in, like you see in little rural places.
I have some really old pictures of the rink and of the fairs that were held in the Rossay Common, taken by my grandfather. And about 10 years ago, I went over to the Rossay Park School, and I did, for a couple of years, I went over dressed up as I would be age 10 with braids and everything, and I did a walk around the common. A walk around the common in about circa 1951, 52, as I knew it as a little girl. And I had pictures from my grandfather. And Juliet Hickman, do you know Juliet? The Hickmans were sort of on the heritage.
They owned the house for them.
And I did what it was like when I was a little girl. I told about the candy and about going into Kenny's store. And about my brother getting a haircut just next to the store. And about the fire engines. You see, we used to play in the schoolyard, and the fire engines were right where the schoolyard was. And we were told the minute we heard that siren, we used to skip, have hot scotch and everything. And when we hear the fire engines, we all run into the school. And, you know, we were not to get in their way. It was a volunteer fire engine department, too. Everybody would come running with crazy things. Yeah.
So that, I mean,
The common means, Mom and I know probably more about the common than anybody else now in the area. So if you, but there's some things
the parking, we're very disturbed.
I'm really worried about the parking. And I think Church Avenue or, Church Avenue should either become a one-way street, which I don't believe it can because you go up to Grove, or there should only be parking on one side. Listen, when they have those beautiful concerts in the summer, or the craft fair, or a funeral, or when kids are doing soccer practice,
family comes.
Look, the cars are here and coming up the driveway. I get so nervous.
There's going to be an accident.
It's going to be some child that runs out there in the excitement, because it's usually an exciting thing that's on the common.
Yeah.
There's either
we're not against the things on the common.
No.
It's just that.
The fire guy, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's scary.
Scary.
You can possibly put signs up or something saying when big events happen, they can move into
new
air. Perpetual Help, so Our Lady of Perpetual Help.
Anything. And do you know another place that I can't see why they haven't used, especially when summertime, now that they're out and they have those lovely concerts, why aren't they given permission to and encouraged to park in the schoolyard at Rossay Park School?
True. There isn't much parking there.
Well, why couldn't you come right down into what I know as the schoolyard, which is the back? You keep right on coming down. Sort of like grassy area, but why couldn't you, you know, it's not formal grass. I just shudder. I just shudder.
That's probably what they're making, though, the yard grass.
Yeah, it's going to be now a full pitch, so you won't be able to, or even if they, that place where they're draining the oil, I don't know who owns that, even if they gravel that over and let people just park there for special events. Scared to death is going to be something there.
We know because we come out our driveway.
And I spend about 5 minutes practically to get Mommy out of the car. Because I look to the right and I look to the left. And
there's cars in front of us.
And it's not only cars. I'm afraid of somebody darting out.
Yeah.
And all it would take would be one
sad accident.
So the common does mean a lot
to us. Yeah.
And here we'll tell you just a couple of funny stories about the common. Now, the rink has always been there. And it was before there was any other means of skating, unless you skated on the river. I lived over at the rink as a little girl. I thought I was going to be Barbara Ann Scott. Never had a figure skating lesson in my life, but I did have the figure skates. And when I wasn't doing that, I was fooling around with a hockey stick or whatever. But because our house was directly opposite, people would phone to find out what the ice conditions were, and there were no washroom facilities over there. And kids would come over with their skates, and they'd crawl. We had a downstairs bathroom. They'd crawl along the floor to use our washroom. So it was almost like open, you know.
And the phone would ring. Has the rink been cleared today? They would say who they are or anything else.
And
has the rink been cleared today?
And it was a strange arrangement. The guy who
is the old rink house now. This is not the new one.
There was a little log cabin there. And they always hired the guy
on the top.
Partly received something from the village, I think. But I don't know who they were. But we would know who they were. For a long time, Jiggs Miller ran it.
Yeah,
he ran
it very nice.
But you'd pay a certain 10 cents to skate, or you could have a $2 season ticket. But the guys that ran it, sometimes they were a little hard-pressed for basic food, and my brother used to take them over bacon and eggs or whatever across the way. Soup, whatever, and I used to practically live over there.
All my children lived over there.
Yeah,
I loved it.
We'd come home from school, we'd get our skates on, and we'd spend just as much time in the rink house.
Yeah.
And they had a pot-bellied stove, and we would put when our mittens and everything got wet, we'd put them on before we'd go out and skate again. And they had the current records to play that you went around, and we.
I am a lovely bunch of coconuts.
And then also they put waltzes on, and the beginning of rock and roll, there'd be the beginnings.
Yeah.
They would deign.
It was wonderful.
But and you can tell about this. I just remember they had fairs on.
Red Cross fairs.
But
during
tell
the
them
war.
About the time when it was closed down.
Oh,
the
by Mountie. The Mountie. You heard that story.
No, I don't.
Oh, but
I am 7 or 8. I'm really not knowledgeable enough to know, except that they had a fair there, and I'm going over, and all of a sudden it's closed down. And the reason that it was closed down, I found out later, was because they had a wheel of down an anchor. It's sort of like Vanna White's wheel that she had looking for a letter. And, you know, you pull a wheel and it stops at a certain place, and if you put your
money on
your 5 cents on a certain thing and it matched on a board, you'd get a certain amount of money. Well, there's to be no gambling in any public place. So even though the money went to the Red Cross, which is a very valid...
During the war.
During the war, to raise money, it was shut down by the Mounties came and shut the place down.
And Mr. Hugh Mackay was a member then of the government. I think he was the one who, I don't know whether, whether how it went, but they could
tell
you.
But he had lots of different fairs and things, and that's fun. At one time they had the Highland Games there.
Yeah.
And they've had craft fairs, and I love the way it's being used for concerts and things. I think that's
but
wonderful.
The parking is scary.
But the parking.
But even day in, day out, it's very nerve-wracking.
I recently just graduated just 2 weeks ago, and Rossier High School always had the graduation. The Commons existed last year. Last year they were constructing or whatever, so they couldn't.
Yes.
And then they decided, let's keep it in front of the school.
I thought that was neat.
You think so?
Oh.
I thought it was common. I think it's more traditional.
You get a tradition like that, and you like it.
Yeah.
We thought when we saw the tent go up in front of your school, we thought that is where the
tent is where
it should be.
And I was talking to the vice, Jackie Stroud, and she said it's so much easier. There's less walking. And, like, it's a good
idea. Washrooms, everything there.
Maybe what you should do is establish tradition that you come out of the school and
parade out or
parade out, and make it so that if
have a band or something.
Maybe even have,
there.
In addition to the tent, have other areas sort of with, I don't know, maybe you could have like booths organized that show all the individual things of your students. I mean, make it sort of like a fair on the outside.
Yeah.
You know, develop it into something really...
Because when we saw that go up, we thought, that is perfect.
I can see why you wanted the commons, but I think there are lovely things on the commons, but that is something that's got to be straightened out. I suppose in off times they can use Our Lady. They've got the best parking ground. In the area. That is not on church days and things. But the rest of us, United Church is a little bit, we have none.
No.
Anglican Church.
We used to use the post office a bit, but now they don't let us do that.
I think they will. No, they don't even want it because people have to go to their boxes and things.
Yeah.
No. I don't know.
No. But I always sort of think, we do know all the changes on the common.
I mean, ultimately, people have often looked at the common, and this could be a danger that they pave Paradise and put that in a parking lot. I mean, you know, or put in a condominium. It is land that has been protected, and you wonder how it has to be protected as a green space. And I think the way it's being used now. Oh, here's another thing. In the 50s, when Harry Miller, our first policeman, if kids went over there, like my brother used to like to go over and throw a football around, and
they were put off.
You were not to play on the grass. Not to walk on the grass except in the paths. That was common, you see. That was commonplace all over.
Right.
I think in King Square, if you deviated, put one foot onto the people would be after you.
Yeah. No, that's just keep
grass
it
to look at.
Yeah. No, it has to be used.
Yeah. I can't imagine that. Grass has to be looked at.
But then you see it was mowed by hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just a push mower. Mr. Carpenter was the cheap one.
And you see, grass had a premium in the sense that mowed and protected and looked after many grass.
Beautiful.
And it took a long
and
time
it
for
it took him
to
a week to do. He'd start Monday and end on Friday.
And then he'd have to start all over again.
Because
you could only do so much.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that's why all up. And you see, this is what happened all over the countryside. Houses, they had a little bit of grass in front of them, and that's it, because they had a push mower, and or they had a scythe, and that's the only way.
And now the countryside's beautiful.
Yes.
Our mower.
Now, down here, when we built this place, which is only built in 01, and I look after the grass, and I find it sometimes hard to
pull the thing.
So the only bit of grass we have out here is this square that I can use an electric mower. So I probably could use a push mower for that amount of space. I don't know how hard they are to.
They're better, I think, even.
But then you've got the maintenance. You know what you've got to do. You've got to make sure that your blades are really sharp. And how many people today are? Where can you take your thing to do the sharpening of the blades?
I've never used a push blade.
No, me neither.
But imagine doing that.
Yeah.
It's something to think about, though, isn't it?
Mm.
So you attended, you went to MGRT. Did you graduate from there?
Yep, I went from grade 1 to 5.
Yeah, and then did you move out our way, or did you stay in the city?
Yeah, when my family decided to move to Rossa, which I never liked as a kid.
No, you missed your Milledgeville friends.
I grew up there. Right?
Yeah. Like, where did you live in Milledgeville?
It's a fairly new. Like, when we moved there, it was 88. It was when I was 4 months old, and we moved there. Yeah. Everyone was really young.
Yeah.
And it was Blanchard.
Yes.
It
okay.
Changed.
Big now.
Yeah.
We were one of the first.
We just took a drive around. Like, I hadn't really been driving around the North End for 10 years.
I had never seen all the buildings.
And I knew some of the roads. And we just went just the other day. Yeah. And I couldn't get over it. And when you start going out the Boar's Head Road and all that, oh my Lord. And then I tell you another place that we just went to. We did it on the same drive. We went out to Drury Cove. Have you been out there? It's off on, it's off the Foster Thurston. When you're going, do you know where the mosque is? The religion, it is a mosque, isn't it?
Yeah. I think you know which stuff, right?
There's the little road, and you can take that, go to the mosque. You know, do you ever go to the hospital by means of not using the highway, going out the Foster Thurston?
Yeah.
Do you know where Alpine Motors is?
I think so, yeah.
Well, there's a little road that goes straight ahead called Drury Cove. When you take that turn off, it used to be a light place.
Something. Yes, where the light place, and you go straight. They're making the.
It's not called the light place now.
No, but it's an electric.
It's near the mosque.
Yeah, you go in there, you turn off
and
there.
And instead of going,
he'd go that way.
Well, Drury Cove, if you ever, it's
straight ahead when you turn off the old Rossay Road.
Yeah.
Straight ahead.
It makes some of the developments like Sagamore Point and all of these other very tony places look like peanuts. There are some astounding, you can't even see some of the properties because of the way it is, but you just know.
The wires are all underground.
And the
lighting system are all wonderful things.
And you see these great big, we saw this one huge house on a cliff. Not much property, but looking down over another part of the Kennebecasis or St. John River, I'm not sure what you look over. Yeah. But it
and
is
the
astounding.
And the landscaping and the houses.
And one of the Irving boys, we know, one of the young Irvings, Kenneth, we were given a description of how to get. And finally, I mean, it's a public road. You can go down so far. And then all of a sudden, you see a private drive. And you see all this landscaped rock and everything, and you can just see the gables of the house and the chimneys.
You
can just see the rooftops, and you think, and then when you hear, like, people say he's got an elevator that takes him from his
boat
up to the
boathouse.
Up to the boathouse.
Yeah.
to get up to the land that he gets into his house. I mean, it just...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this generation...
What are you going to do? What are you doing, going to do
now? Yeah. I'm heading to St. Thomas University.
Yes, in Fredericton. Oh, yeah. Very good.
And what are you going to take?
Well, I'm going to take a Bachelor of Arts.
Yeah.
If 2 years goes well, I'm going to head into journalism.
Interesting.
Very good. Yeah, so if I like that field, I'm kind of...
I think that'd be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Where would you... Do you have an eye on where you'd like to do journalism?
No. That's the thing. Yeah.
So there's Carlson and King's.
Yeah, that's too
long. But I think... Well, St. Thomas is journalism.
And they're journalism.
Oh, are they journalism?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, they are. They
realize that.
But I think you're smart to sort of take arts and sort of have that in mind and...
Maybe make a change.
Yeah.
Like, I have... Mom has 11 grandchildren, my nieces and nephews, that run from 30 down to 18. And all of the things that they've done, it is definitely a different generation from me. I mean,
Mary, my children.
Yeah, we all kind of set our sails. We all did what it was. We've had pretty much the same job all throughout our lives. I mean, I'm a school teacher. I have another sister who's a school teacher.
The other one that was a school teacher and didn't teach.
Yeah. Everybody sort of got on the road, did what they were doing, and then when they got, that's just the way their life has been. But my nieces and nephews have gone all full circle, all over the place, haven't they?
Mm.
I mean, you never know what it is they're doing.
No.
Most of them have... got degrees.
Yeah, they all got their degrees.
They've done it by...
Except the youngest who's going to McGill this year.
Yeah.
That's Joyce.
But one interesting thing is I have one sister. She's 13 years younger than me. And she is married, has three kids, and her...
She was married at 20, yeah. 21.
She was the only one I know that was really
so
married.
So she didn't finish. She had 2 years college.
Yeah. And she went to Mount A, and then she decided she wanted to take agricultural college. So she went to agricultural college, and I guess the guy there who was taking was far more interesting than finishing her degree. So he finished up his degree. But what happened was, when her kids and her last boy is in, he's sort of going through university in this way that you... sort of go in and go out. But anyway, she decided about 5 years ago that she was going to take her 2 years of Mount A.
See what she got.
And see what she could get. And she decided she was going to do something quite different from being a school teacher of arts. She got a degree in accounting from the University of Alberta, and she did all correspondence courses and went into Halifax. She lives in Truro. And last year, she got a degree in commerce with a major in accounting.
She flew up to Alberta and got
her... She graduated.
She graduated.
Now, she...
is 50.
She's 50. She had got a good reputation in Truro for being able to do books, you know, do the auditing. And now that she has her degree, for the first time, she got a steady job.
They came to her.
They came to her. She is working for an auditing firm. Here she is,
50
years old.
Going
the workforce. There's all
with a real job.
One of her sons is an engineer, and the daughter, Emily, has a degree from NASCAD in fine arts.
Oh, okay.
And her son is sort of going through McGill in a strange way. But anyway, here she is, just joining the workforce. And I've been retired for quite a while, but my sister Jane, who lives in Newfoundland and has taught school, has just retired this year. So
she's going to be 54.
Yeah.
She's retiring, and Carrie's going to work.
And her sister Carrie has just joined the workforce. So, I mean, things have just switched around.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, my sister Jane, she finished school just last week in Newfoundland. And finished school, and my sister Carrie, who has been working through the tax year, this April was her big time, because it was the first time that she would, you know, really, in April, if you're an accountant, you really work like gangbusters. That's like your exams, that's like everything rolled into one. And last weekend, poor Carrie
came over
as a working girl, came here, and she
looked like a working girl.
Oh, we haven't seen her like this.
She found good energy usually. Here's what, sitting here, and she
I can't do that. If you know, we take care of you, don't do the dishes or something. Oh,
I can't do that.
Tired.
She couldn't even peel a potato or peel a carrot or do anything. And we don't
wiped out.
She was just wiped out. She even had to work hard to take her doggy for a walk.
Yes.
So, things have changed.
Yeah.
But I think journalism, is an interesting thing. I hope, you hear about maybe newspapers and magazines and things might be around, but
I don't think they'll ever go.
The printed word, I can't feature somebody deciding that they're going to read a novel or read a just, I like to hold on to my print. I do. But I hope people always want to hold on to their print and that they don't want to just download it off something and read it that way.
Well, the same way, a lot of them, you notice they're downloading music now.
Yeah.
But me, if I really like a music artist,
yeah,
I buy their CD.
Yeah.
Because I like to hold products, I'm not gonna, I like to see my collection.
Yes.
I don't trust computers.
No, that way, no.
But I hope, I suppose journalism, though, it's going to have that computer aspect.
Oh, it's going to have a lot of computers.
That's going to be a very, become a bigger component.
Yeah.
But, for example, I'm setting off to read this. I've read one of these, my sister read all 24 of these Masters and Commanders novels.
Oh, okay.
They're historic sea things. They're mostly, George started reading them.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. And he said, Mary, who is kind of a history buff, he said, I think you'll like them. They may be a little male-oriented because they're like Pirates of the Caribbean. Did you see the movie Masters and Commanders? It is sort of you can see how it is quite male-oriented.
Yeah.
But my sister, who loves that period in history, gallivanted right through all 24. Well, she gave me the first one last year, and then some of them she's bought, and some of them she's got from the library. But I read the first one, and I said, "Oh, I'm a taker on that." So I had my hip replaced just last September, and I read the first one. And then Mary goes to Toronto in the winter. That's where she lives. And I said, "Oh, bring down the others." So now with all this foggy, I've got two of them here. I think I've got a lot of reading. But I can't imagine downloading something like this and sitting through the pages. And I really want to hold on to the book.
Well, you'll find that I don't think people like reading on the internet and stuff like that.
Yes.
But you'll never find people reading on the internet.
It'll
hurt your eyes after a while.
It'll kill you.
Yeah.
Unless they bring it up on the big screen.
I don't want to sit in front of a computer screen to read it. I want to get myself in a comfy chair. If I want to take it outside, I'm not going to take my computer. If I want to sit out under a tree, I'm not going to want to do that.
Yeah, that's why newspapers today are...